Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic, joined by Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We hope we're having a good one out there. Seth and I are going to get in some entertainment news in a little bit, talk about some great local events going on in our area. We got some Father's Day material we'll get into as well. But we kick things off with our great friends from the Southfield County Humane Society. Denise joining us with our Pet of the Week. A big thank you to our friends at Milltown Coffee Shop, sponsoring this segment. Appreciate them over there. Denise, how you doing?
I'm really great. Thanks. How are you guys?
Doing good. Thanks so much for being here today. We were in our pregame talking a little bit, and we were going to, you know, talk about some of the things going on over at the shop and that. You mentioned something about surgeries today that was really caught in Seth and I's ear.
We with our grant that we got to make additions and improvements to our facility, we do have a medical surgical suite now. So our part-time vet, our traveling vet that comes, is going to be doing surgeries in-house today for the first time, and we're very excited about that.
Amazing.
So I think off on the surface we can kind of gather what that means and what it certainly means for the staff, for the animals. But is this something where if there is something that is time sensitive, a surgery that needs to be done sooner than later or something like that, that can be done now? Or something within reason like that?
Something within reason, yes. If it's time sensitive, our vet is only there every other Thursday, so we would still continue to use our partner facilities like Portage County, Clark County, Adams County, for those veterinary services. But for the spays and neuters and simple things like that, extractions, we can do it in-house now. We're pretty excited
to
take
that
stuff.
That's really cool. Yeah.
And that seems like financially seems like a really helpful thing as well.
Absolutely.
Oh, is that cool?
Yeah.
That's really great to hear.
Great
very,
news.
Very cool.
Thank
to hear.
You.
And a big thank you to them. That's great. We appreciate them being a part of things over there.
Yeah.
And of course, Denise, it is always kitten season.
No, it is. Yes.
But it feels like it is a lot of the time. So with that, we want to remind everybody out there, if you're looking for ways to impact your community, help our Humane Society, could always use some certain kitten stuff.
Yep, absolutely. We need kitten litter or litter, general kitten food. And then we're in need of distilled water this week because of the start of surgeries. A lot of that equipment requires distilled water.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
So we're buying it by the gallon. If you have extra, drop it off for us.
Not one of those ones we would have thought of right away.
Right, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
That's new.
Yeah, well, it's a good one, though, too. And I also want to remind everybody out there that as it is getting nicer out, we know that dog walking and things like that over at the Humane Society are very popular and
correct.
People like to be a part of and everything. And by that, I mean me.
Yeah.
No, but there's others out there, too.
Right, of course.
When it comes to that, Denise, if somebody has not heard about that or knows much about that, would like to learn more or even be a part of it, how can they do that?
Go on the website under Get Involved. There's a volunteer application they can complete. If there's any issues and you aren't able to access it, just give us a call. We can walk you through it. We can get you signed up through our volunteer coordinator, and she will make sure that you have the proper materials and orientation and get you in there walking dogs or cats.
My fur brother Sam, my parents got a nice backyard, and he at night likes to go, you know, just barking at things that are moving around back there. And I have a feeling that Sam is trying to invite them in. Deer, squirrels, there was a bear back there once. I'm pretty sure Sam, if he could open the door, is just trying to invite them in.
Sure.
Let his friends in.
They
want to
play, right?
Yeah. It's a good thing he can't work the locks. But it got me thinking about something, and this came up years ago, and I just thought it would be good to kind of bring up one more time about when you come across wildlife and you know, where to go for assistance with those things. Because our Humane Society is amazing. They do a lot of great things over there, but that's not really your guys' wheelhouse. That's not really your department.
Correct. You can always call us, and we will give you the appropriate rescues or people to contact for that, depending on the wildlife, what it is. If you find something injured, give us a call.
Yeah.
Or call our on-call phone if it's after hours, and we will guide you through it and give you the appropriate person to contact.
Nice.
Appreciate that, Denise. Mm-hmm. All right. I have made the audience wait long enough. Who is our pet of the week?
Buford. He is a big boy. He's got the body of a mastiff, and he has the eyes of a husky. So he's like fawn colored, but he has these ice blue eyes.
Wow.
He's just spectacular. He's a big dog, though. He's young, maybe 2 years old, 2 to 3. He came in as a stray, so we don't have a lot of information on him other than that he's a very nice dog. He's calm. He doesn't bark. He howls like a husky. but he's so far so good, good around other dogs. We haven't exposed him to cats yet, but if you're looking for a big dog with a big heart, he's your guy.
There you go.
I don't do this enough, and it's a shame on me. You are so good at describing these animals. I've gone back and heard previous interviews. I cannot tell you how good you are at this.
Oh, thank you. I have a lot of help.
It'd take me 20 hours to even get like half of that. And you described Buford perfectly. That is exactly what you're...
Thank you.
Got the body of a mastiff.
He does.
That, I don't know if I've ever seen that. He's a handsome dog.
He's interesting looking. Yeah. And our kennel manager puts these descriptions together, so I cannot take credit. I have a lot of help.
Both of you, that because you don't have any notes in front of you, so I mean that's pretty good.
Thanks.
But, you guys do a great job of this. The descriptions.
Thank you. Buford. We have to.
Buford seems like a very sweet dog too.
He is. He's big, but he's very sweet and calm. And he doesn't jump. He doesn't really pull on the leash. He's pretty good.
The bigger they are, the harder you fall for them.
That's right.
The harder you fall for them.
Absolutely.
It always seems to be. Now, also, I don't see an age on Buford.
We're unsure. He's young, around two, but they haven't posted that yet. But he's pretty young, according to his teeth.
Yeah, right. That's interesting. And any other notes on Buford? Certainly has his shots.
He was just neutered this week, so he is ready to go.
All right.
Wonderful. And we want to encourage you to find out more about not only Buford, but all these amazing animals over at the Humane Society. Get them before I do. just reach out to the Humane Society to find out more. And keep in mind, everybody, if you are on the fence about something and you have concerns or questions or anything, maybe you're not sure if the animal would work with your other animals or with your kids, or you're a little bit older. I've talked to a couple of neighbors and my parents about this, and one of the neighbors, they have a great dog, but they're thinking of maybe getting another one because he's getting older, and they're uncertain because they're not as mobile. So talking about things like that, talk it out with the Humane Society.
Yep, absolutely, we have all the knowledge of all these dogs and how they will fit, and the right questions to ask to make sure they're a right fit for your family. So give us a call, stop in, we're happy to help.
Reach out to them anytime. You can email them, office@swchs.com. Give them a call at 715-423-0505, 423-0505. Be sure to reach out to them or at their location, 3621 64th Street North here in Wisconsin Rapids, and bookmark their webpage, swchs.com, swchs.com. Follow them on social media. It's a great follow, great way to keep up to date on everything going on over there and to reach out to the Humane Society. Denise, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Do us a favor and give Buford a good one right between the ears there.
I will for sure. Thanks.
And say hi to the team over there for us.
I will. Thank you.
A big thank you to Milltown Coffee. Yes. Greatly appreciate our friends over at Milltown Coffee. 3821 80th Street South, right here in Wisconsin Rapids. They're open, everybody.
They're open, ready to go. Serve you.
Yeah, I'm going right now.
Good. Right on. Good. Say hi to them for us and everything. And enjoy. And we will have another edition of the Pet of the Week next week right here on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take ya. Bermuda, Bahama, come on, pretty mama. Key Largo, Montego, baby, why don't we go? Jamaica, off the Florida Keys. Hope y'all are having a great Thursday morning out there. Thank you so much for joining us. A big thank you to Denise and Buford and all of our friends at the Southland County Humane Society. Of course, the good people over at Milltown Coffee.
Yes, indeed.
That was a fun segment.
Yes.
Appreciate them very much. Yes, I did play a little Beach Boys to go into our entertainment section to kick off talking
about. I'll give you this one.
Yeah. I can't help a good segue.
That's all right.
And certainly want to pay respect to a very, very influential human being. I didn't say musician, human being. And Brian Wilson. I also, and this is going to shock the audience, I don't have a lot to say on this one. I didn't grow up with the Beach Boys.
Right.
I didn't hear a lot of their music. I certainly know mm-hmm. who they are, respect Brian Wilson, and mm-hmm. understand that he was a musical genius. And I don't throw that word around lightly.
Right.
So I wanted to just take, clear the lane for you, man, because I know that this is this is more your wheelhouse.
Right, right. So it's the story the story of the Beach Boys is fascinating, twists and turns all through it, but it's more of the story of Brian Wilson because he had such an impact on the band. You know, it's funny. There was an interview they were on, of course, many times on American Bandstand, and Dick Clark asked them. He's like, "So who picks the music and who decides that?" And Brian's like, "Well, since I write and produce most of the music, I guess it's me," kind of thing. You know, also I'm somewhat self deprecating in that sense,
yes.
But the way he put music together was. I mean, fantastic. His ear for the layers. You know, James, you talk a lot about layers of music kind of thing. And man, did he pioneer a lot of that, of putting stuff together. These, like, they're like more classical pieces in a small form, like the song form, right? You listen to, he always said his first real creation, as he called it, was Surfer Girl. So, you know, before that, you hear, you know, all the Surf and Safari, you know, all the kind of the beginning of the surf culture, the surf music, the surf sound. But if you listen to Surfer Girl and you listen to the harmonies on that, and I think what he said on that one, he said, if you listen to the complexity of the harmonies on that, it goes by without you even noticing. So if you actually listen to it, though, and you realize those harmonies are not like normal harmonies. These are things that he really thought out. And, you know, and yeah, Brian had his flaws. He was a perfectionist. You know, it's, even when things were good, he still didn't think they were good enough. You know, he was constantly like that. He had issues with some drug stuff that happened, you know, and which caused him some permanent damage throughout his life. But there is no question the man was spoke through music. That was his voice, and what he did for popular music. I mean, maybe a couple of people mm-hmm. you can say did more, you know, yeah. But not many, not mm. many.
He his struggles with mental health and what mm-hmm. he shared about that, I always thought was really early doing that before a lot of people were. You mentioned a self-deprecating thing, and I think mm-hmm. that was part of that too. With that,
yeah.
I remember being a kid and hearing good. I was a little older, probably 13, 14 or whatever mm-hmm. when I first. I might have heard it before then, but when I first heard Good Vibrations.
Mm.
And
amazing song,
good song, and then it there's just this weird pheromone like at the end, like whatever
the theremin, yeah,
theremin, and yep. it just throws you. To me, it did
yep.
as a kid,
mm-hmm.
and I.
What is the sound, right? Yeah,
and it just was such a weird layering of song and of sound and mm-hmm. everything. And it, to me, it was my first impression of this is a little different. Oh, this isn't, you know, this is,
right.
I think that nobody else is going to say this, and I don't believe, nobody should say this, but it reminded me of when I was a kid and I first heard Pink Floyd,
mm.
and I'd never heard anything
that's
like
fair.
That. The layers, the yep. different sounds out of nowhere that you wouldn't expect in a song.
Yep.
That was what it reminded me of. So.
Right, right. And you can go back and see, one of the greatest songs ever recorded, in my opinion, is God Only Knows, which is it's
that's a good song.
It's so fantastic on so many levels. Beach Boys were not known for their lyrics because they kind of stuck to the beach culture, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. As they moved along, of course, they spread out and they started singing about other things. But for me, that one is such. It's a gorgeous song, and what you hear what he says, you know, the lyrics to it go so well with it. I mean, it's just it doesn't get any better than that for pop music. It doesn't get any better than that.
Wilson is survived by his daughter, Carney, and Wendy, who found success in the group Wilson Phillips.
That's right.
And 5 adopted children from his second marriage.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. The Beach Boys issued a statement on the website saying, in part, Brian Wilson wasn't just the heart of the Beach Boys. He was the soul of our sound.
Mm-hmm.
It's really well said.
Yes, he was.
The melodies he dreamed up and the emotions he poured into every note changed the course of music forever.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Really good.
That is absolutely true.
Ron Wood from the Rolling Stones summed up what a lot of people probably feel right now, quote, "Oh no, Brian Wilson and Sly Stone in 1 week, my world mm-hmm. is mourning."
Yes.
Brian's daughter, Carney, posted a wonderful Instagram post about this too, and mm-hmm. it was very sweet. And I don't know how to say this without saying it probably crass or uncomfortably. You don't hear this very often for an 82-year-old man.
That's true.
You know, a lot of the stuff that you're hearing and being said, you would think he was in his 30s or 40s or something.
Right.
It just shows you how much this guy meant that he could be around another 30, 40 years, and they probably would still be saying the same thing.
Right. This is the equivalent when Prince died. This is the equivalent when David Bowie died. You know, his impact is immeasurable to pop music. And for people you wouldn't even think. You know, Ron Wood?
Right.
The Rolling Stones sounded nothing like the Beach Boys, but they did take inspiration from Brian Wilson. So
definitely a life well lived, a legacy well set.
Yes.
Netflix has an animated Stranger Things spinoff in the works, and they dropped some details yesterday. It's called Stranger Things Tales from 85. It'll take place between seasons 2 and 3 of the original series.
Okay.
It'll feature original characters plus a new one. It'll be out next year. The fifth and final season of the live action Stranger Things is being released in 3 parts this year between Thanksgiving and New Year's Eve.
Okay.
So years back, HBO got the wild idea, in part because out of forced creativity, if you will, James Gandolfini and Edie Falco, their names were getting bigger and bigger, so they were being pulled away from the set
to do other projects
and stuff. So, okay, The Sopranos is going to be back in a year. That's how TV shows worked.
That's right.
It'll be back in the fall. It'll be back whenever. Well, then all of a sudden, no, you got to wait 2 years.
Yes.
You're waiting 2 years for this show and everything. And just back in the day when that was happening and everything, it's wild to think about now. I don't know many shows that could do that, where the fan base is going to stay there. But they did. And the ratings were the same, if not better, and all that. It was wild.
Game of Thrones, same thing. Yeah, kind of thing, yeah.
But HBO realized through that, well, we can drag this stuff out, and we can make even more money and more advertising dollars and all of this. So you know what? The final season of The Sopranos, we're going to release it in 2 parts, and now everybody wants to do it with their big hit, their signature show, whether you're Fox, NBC, ABC, or a streaming service like Hulu or Netflix or anybody else. And this is what Netflix has. Name me the other hit show Netflix has. Name me the last 3 hit shows that Netflix has. I'll wait.
Got me there.
Even one of them, Squid Game, I never watched a second of it, but I know it was very popular. Right. Even that's wrapping up.
Right. And that was kind of not Netflix. They just kind of broadcast it, right? That was made from a South Korean company. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah. So when it comes to that, it is the old adage of stretch. We need you to stretch. And that is what they're going to do with all of, not just the last season of the show, as they're breaking up in 3 parts, man.
Three parts seems excessive. Yeah.
I like the show. I've watched every episode. Yeah. And that made me cringe. I'm like, I don't know, man. If I wasn't OCD and had to have things finish, I don't know how much I'd be that, you know, watching it, to be honest. Because it's a great show, but I mean, I love Winona Ryder, but not that.
I mean, let's put this in perspective, right?
And then the spinoff show, and there'll probably be another spinoff show. And look at what Game of Thrones or The Walking Dead or any of these. It goes back to your conversation about IP and how that has taken over creativity.
Absolutely.
Like, there's instead of trying to come up with new concepts, new shows, or anything like that, it's just, well, what do we own the IP of?
Well, and it's funny because you go back and these things at one time were new and interesting. That's why people wanted to see it. When The Walking Dead appeared, you know, for those people even who had no knowledge of the comic at all, all of a sudden, whoa, what is this?
Yeah.
This is new. They're doing things on the show they never did before. Same thing with Game of Thrones. Mm. Even if you hadn't read the books, people were like, wow, this is amazing. They're doing things here. But that's because it was all new and different. And what has it been, 10 years, 10, 15 years since all of that? And now it's just, how can we rework everything?
The creative bar has been lowered way too far.
It does feel that way.
Father's Day prep for you. A little bit, Seth and I are going to get into we had the best TV dads the other day.
We did.
How about the best movie dads? Okay. We'll get into that in a little bit. But for right now, what's a great movie to watch with your dad?
That's a good one.
I did a little research and homework on this one, as I like to do with all of our heavy topics.
Right.
And I talked to my dad.
Heavy research.
Very, very heavy. I saw him at my parents'. he and I have a big debate going on about what movie we have watched the most together. Because there's nobody I've watched more movies with than my father.
Okay.
Growing up, having WGN on, watching the Italian, you know, spaghetti westerns and all that. And certainly comedies like Airplane and Caddyshack and The Blues Brothers, which was what I immediately thought, okay, Blues Brothers. For sure, there's no movie we've watched more than The Blues Brothers.
Right.
And he almost got, like, angry about it. And he's like, Jimmy, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And I, well, a Fistful of Dollars. He's like, he's bringing up all these movies. I don't know if that you're right, man. But this is our debate we're having right now.
Sure.
And these are the kind of movies we like to watch together. Mm-hmm. I want to hear from you out there. Do you have a movie that you watch with your dad? Do you have a movie you remember watching with your dad? Mm-hmm. Not my father, but I remember watching The Cowboys with my mom a lot.
Okay.
There's certain movies that are tied to these individuals. Mm-hmm. And I think that maybe others might have that. Let us know. You can text us or call in through the Civic Media app,
right?
715-424-2600. Do you have any?
You know, I was just trying to think of that. My parents are not big movie people, as a matter of fact. We went to movies, you know, the bigger ones, you know, when we were kids, or the kids' movies, the Disney ones and all those kinds of things. And we would rent movies occasionally. But honestly, because I didn't watch a ton of movies with them, I associate my parents more with TV shows because of the number of, you know, shows we watch together. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. You know, like my mom with Unsolved Mysteries. For some reason, that was the show we watched. I don't know why, but it's kind of thing. But not movies. I don't really associate many movies with them.
I used to watch Unsolved Mysteries with my Nana Papa.
Nice.
That's good. Let's take a call. Good morning. You're on the show.
Hey, so I didn't really watch a lot of movies with my dad, but what I did watch with my dad was documentaries. We watched a whole lot of stuff on, you know, back when the History Channel had history on it. That was what I watched with my dad growing up.
Very nice.
I like that. That's really
cool. That's good, yeah.
That's very cool. That's very cool. You want to shout out your dad?
Hi, Dad. I love you.
There we go. There we go. Nicely done. Nicely done.
That's all you needed to do.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
I hadn't thought of that. Mm-hmm. I watch more docs with my mom, probably, but my dad really does like documentaries.
That's
and those
cool.
Things. So this list that we have here is an interesting one. GoodHousekeeping.com put out a list of the 45 best movies to watch with Pops.
Okay. That's a random number, but okay.
We're not going to go through all 45.
No.
In fact, I'm only going to touch on a handful of these,
okay.
But there are a lot of the movies that you would think of, like Cheaper by the Dozen or even Big Daddy.
Right.
You know, I love that movie.
Films that are literally about being fathers, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. then there's The Shining. Like, what?
Whoa.
Wait a minute. No.
No. That'd be an example of a bad father.
Yeah.
murderous father.
And as much as you and I are fans of like The Empire Strikes Back, I don't know that that's a good dad movie.
Those are like daddy issue movies.
Yes.
Let's go with that instead, right?
Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Now that one, yeah. You know
that
what?
One,
yeah.
I'll give you. Although I was thinking
we named
about
the
this.
Dog, Indy.
his father is actually kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
In that movie,
yeah,
when you they have that conversation, I left you alone so you'd be self reliant.
Yeah.
What? Get out of here with that. Yeah. That's terrible parenting.
Willow.
Oh, okay, like the adopted father, because the little girl,
oh,
Alora,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, yeah. Oh, that's right.
How did
yeah,
I know that
yeah.
name? I feel
wow,
sad now.
Wow, that was awesome, man. That was a never-ending story moment right there. You just threw the name out there. That was great. Field of Dreams, yeah.
Oh, that
yeah.
makes sense,
yeah.
right? And it involves baseball, too. A lot of fathers and children have a baseball connection, right? Yeah.
At number three, The Godfather. Whoa.
Now, depends on what kind of family you're talking about,
I
guess.
In my family, that makes sense. Absolutely, yeah. 100% that makes sense in my family, but I didn't know anybody else would have put that one.
To be fair to Don Vito, he was trying to get Michael not to be joined the right.
It's
he wanted him. He wanted
true.
Him to have a legit job, not mm-hmm. be part of the whole family. Right.
Yep.
Sonny was the. To be fair, the not so bright one.
Yeah.
Really couldn't do anything else, so he was going to be the one to take over the family business. But he wanted Michael to do something better. I mean, it didn't work out like that, but you know.
Al Pacino's performance as Michael Corleone, man. It stops me in my
tracks.
It
is
every
it is
time.
A
every
the
time.
Epitome of restraint.
Yes, it is it's so good.
Like, which later Al Pacino is like people will be like, "Wait, the same actor?"
Right, right. Finding Nemo at number 2.
Yes.
Yeah.
That one's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's very much and you know, it has the his father whose name escapes me at the moment. I remember Alora,
Albert
but not
Brooks.
Albert Brooks. Yes. That was what I was going to say. Albert Brooks, his performance is
so good.
Fantastic. I mean, he's so good at those voices.
I say this, obviously, as a Simpsons fan, and he's worked on The Simpsons since the very first season and everything, but Albert Brooks is an underappreciated voice actor.
He is. He's done some really good work. He's an underappreciated actor.
Like
how about like all-around talent, underappreciated? Yeah.
And underused.
Very much so.
And at number one, Raising Arizona from 1987, one of my just go-to movies when I was a kid. I don't know how that happened, but
Nick Cage is a father. There you go.
And to be fair, he goes through a lot to try to provide for his kid and everything, and to help his kid out.
That movie is just so over the top. It's fantastic.
Even if you don't watch the movie, do yourself a favor and just watch the breaking out of jail scene with him and John Goodman. It is comedic gold. It is one of the funniest things I promise you you'll ever see. If you watch that scene and you don't laugh, I will.
The Coen brothers at their best. Right?
It's raining and he's just pulling them out of the boat. God, it's so good. I love that movie. It got some great actors in that movie, too.
Absolutely.
In that movie. I mentioned John Goodman and Nick Cage all the time, but is Holly Hunter?
Holly Hunter is in that, yes.
Yeah, she's so good in that. That's a great movie. What does your list look like? What movies, TV shows, documentaries, anything like that that you like to watch with your dad?
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from you, everybody. And we will get some more dad talk in when we come back.
All right.
We got Are These the Best Dads in Movie History? Coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Seth and James hanging out with you. Thank you so much for keeping us company. We hope you're having a great day out there. We continue some Father's Day conversation.
All right.
And appreciation to all of you out there. Always listen. We appreciate you, you best listeners in radio out there. I do want to say to anybody that, you know, I understand that Mother's Day, Father's Day can be wonderful, can be great, can also be triggering.
Yes, they can.
And know that we are thinking of you, and we appreciate you hanging with us through this and the day and what the days mean to you.
That's right.
And in a little bit, also with Mother's Day and Father's Day, mentioning those, I also be remiss to not mention the United Way's diaper drive that they are doing.
Yeah, it's wrapping up this weekend, yeah.
Yeah, so your last weekend, get some great diapers
wrapping
over there.
Wrapping up this weekend. God, I did it. I did it, James. I pulled a James.
Yeah.
He's influencing me.
Yes. Yes.
How sad.
I encourage you to do that. Find out more by going to uswac.org. And thank you to everybody who has already donated and helped out the future, really, or impact on the future doing stuff like that. So Father's Day is this Sunday, so let's take a look at some of our favorite dads from movies.
Okay.
I didn't see yardbarker.com is where you can find this list. I don't know much about Yardbarker.
No.
Don't know if I've ever mentioned that website before.
No, probably not.
But, you know, that's where they got this list. And I don't know what the criteria was.
Yeah, that's an interesting. That would be something interesting to look at.
And I bring that up in part because of the number one name. And I guess I don't know for sure that this is in order of, you know, the best to worst or whatever.
Yeah.
But it seems to be. At number 15, Darth Vader in Star Wars. He did save Luke, and he did save Luke.
At the end, he turned back to the good side. Mm-hmm. You know, he did save him in the end, yeah.
I don't know if I'd call him a bad dad, so I guess I could see that. Yeah.
Well, he didn't raise him, of course.
Yeah.
Maybe Obi-Wan was actually a better father figure, or even his Uncle Owen, you know, so yeah.
This next one should be higher on the list if this is in some order. Atticus Finch, Gregory Peck in To Kill a Mockingbird from 1962.
Yes, he was actually quite a good father.
A really, really good father.
Single father, too, if I remember correctly.
Single dad in the South and raising not only a little, you know, kids, but obviously with the being an attorney and stuff,
right.
And so many, I don't know, there's so many things about that character that if you do it right are so organic and natural and yet like things, life lessons kind of stuff and everything.
Exactly.
I love that play. Mm-hmm. Cameron Poe, Nicolas Cage in Con Air, 1997. I don't remember him being he had the little girl. That's why I thought it was the wife because of the love song. I was thinking of the wife, and that's right. He did have a kid, yeah.
Oh, goodness.
I'm going to be honest. All I remember from that movie is Steve Buscemi. It's like the main thing. John Malkovich was fantastic in it. I love John Cusack, one of my all-time favorite actors. He's in it. But no, Steve Buscemi is what I remember from that movie. Jason Furious Styles, Lawrence Fishburne, and Boys in the Hood from 1991.
Ooh, yes. That's a good one.
It's a sneaky good one.
Yes.
Oh, man, is he good in that movie. Mm-hmm. It may be his best performance.
Yeah, and in a career of, like, tremendous performances. Yeah. Yes.
And such an important role, too, mm-hmm. in an important movie. That's a good one. We just were talking about this. Professor Henry Jones Sr., Sean Connery, and Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade from 1989.
I don't know if he was such a good father. You know, I'm the jury's out on that. Indy turned out all right, but again, you know.
I mean, you mentioned, you know, he left him alone and stuff. I mean, you know, there's some things there.
That first scene, you know, the River Phoenix scene at the beginning of the movie, and he's like, Dad, I just did this thing. He's like, count to 10 in Greek. I mean, come on. Yeah. Come on, Henry.
Yeah. Come on. God, the chemistry between those two.
But they were fantastic. So good.
It was so good. That movie could have been horrible, and I'd watch it to the end of time. Like, I just love their chemistry.
Speaking of movies I've watched a lot, I just realized I watched that movie a lot when I was younger. Yeah,
I think that's the one I watched the most.
It is for me, for sure.
Yeah, that's definitely the one for me. Mr. Levinstein, Eugene Levy in the American Pie series.
Jeez.
Not a bad one. That's a good one.
Because it's Eugene Levy, and he's awesome.
It is Eugene Levy. Yeah,
he's fantastic.
Always okay with that. Sneaky good one, I think, here. John Quincy Archibald, Denzel Washington, and John Q from 2002.
Oh, wow.
Such a good movie, man.
That movie, I had forgotten about. I saw that one in the theaters, and it's a tremendous movie. Yeah. And, of course, Denzel always 100% with him. He always gives his all. But, yes, and he's the drastic measures he goes to save his child is pretty remarkable in that movie.
Jack Burns, Robert De Niro in Meet the Parents from 2000. Can you milk me? Can you? it's such a great performance by him.
That was the role. You know, I know he had done Analyze This, you know, but he played it kind of straight
Albert
in
Brooks.
That one.
Yeah.
Yes. But it was the Meet the Parents series that really showed how good of a comedic actor he could be.
It gave a whole third act to his career.
Did.
And I did say
he ended
third
up in a bunch of movies.
He's
had
two acts before that.
He
and everything.
Did.
Yeah. Oh, man. Gil Buckman, Steve Martin from Parenthood, 1989.
Wait a minute. Think about that one.
A sneaky good movie, though.
It is.
What a cast. I look back at that cast. Huge cast for that
movie. That was Ron Howard's big breakout movie as a director, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
So that one or Father of the Bride should Martin be nominated for as far as dads?
Like, he was better in Father of the Bride,
I think. I would have thought Father of the Bride. Yeah. I would have thought that for
me
sure.
Me too.
I like Parenthood, but I would have thought Father of the Bride for sure. At number six, Chris Gardner, Will Smith in The Pursuit of Happiness from 2006.
Oh, I've never seen that one.
Get ready to be emotional.
Okay.
It's an emotion, especially as a father. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Easily one of his best performances, an incredible work, and based
That's
on a
cool.
true story.
Based oh, really?
On
a
very important true story.
Did not know that.
Howard Langston, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Jingle All the Way from 1996.
That's very tongue-in-cheek there. I don't know.
Now, I will say in real life, from his kids and everything, Arnold Schwarzenegger seems like a really good dad.
Yeah, he did. Like, he does sound like he was.
His kids really love him. Mm-hmm. They talk about him a lot and everything. At number four, Harry Stamper, Bruce Willis from Armageddon in 1998.
Oh, God.
My God, yes. 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 Absolutely.
I still don't get that movie and why so many people like it so much. I just don't get it.
I'm not necessarily a fan of the movie.
Right.
I'm just such a big Bruce Willis guy.
Right.
That's it. I can't say that I like the movie.
Yeah.
I've seen it once.
So cheesy.
But even I remember all the things, the sacrifices he made as a dad. Like, sacrificing for his daughter, the sacrifice of his daughter's husband, and all this stuff. Spoiler alert.
It's from 1998. No spoilers left. Get out of here.
It's from 19. Man, I didn't think about that. 98.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, am I old. man. So that's a good one right there. Putting all of my bias out there, my number one is their number three, Daniel Hillard, Robin Williams in Miss Doubtfire from 1993.
That is,
that's a touchy one.
There are much better
examples of him as a dad.
I think so. He played a dad quite a few times.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it,
I think that's the most popular one.
Oh, for sure.
That's not his best performance as a father.
It goes to the length that he wants to be with his kids, right? So he has to do it in a certain way, and of course it's a ridiculous premise, but movies like that are always ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's just to get Robin Williams to be an old lady. That's basically what you're doing.
Hello.
So
It shows you how darn good and how believable and how much people liked him. The combination of all that, that such a silly plot is this well loved.
Yeah.
And this well, you know, taken in and everything.
Yeah, it was a huge hit.
That we just suspend belief in those moments when he's dressed as Miss Doubtfire and everything and believing that Sally Field doesn't see it. Which, by the way, him and Sally Field were so good together in
yes.
that movie.
Yes, they were.
Noticing a lot of that. A lot of good chemistry between these actors in this. Mm-hmm. At number two, Clark Griswold, Chevy Chase in the Vacation series.
Seriously.
So that's a good one. That's a good one.
Again, that's like, wait, it was, no, again, we have to question. So he wasn't a very good husband, for sure.
You know,
maybe a better father.
As you know, because I'm looking at this list and I think of like Atticus Finch, and there's really, I mean, what are you going to say bad about Atticus Finch? Or what critique do you have of that one?
To be fair.
But almost every other one, there's some kind of thing that we could say about one thing or another.
Some flaws, right?
Which is dads.
Of course.
That's dads. We're flawed. We're not perfect. That's parents.
In general, yes.
And so we're really hitting on something here, I think.
That's true.
And at number one, Brian Mills, Liam Neeson from the Taken movies.
Wow.
To be fair, maybe the man went
that's
through
going
a lot
to
for
extremes.
His kid. He did a lot for his kid. He really did. I mean, you can't take that from him. Made three movies out of
it. Oh, you know what? I've seen zero of the Taken movies. Oh. And you know what? But I don't care. I'm just so happy that Liam Neeson got to do things like that. It just makes me happy that he had some fun.
Yeah. I do think that there is a serious problem for Hollywood with their action stars because they cannot let any of them retire because they're not making new ones.
I know. What the heck, man? They're all too old.
Every action star is above 50 now.
Yeah.
The Rock just turned 50. Like every one of them is above 50.
And we're not talking like
no problem with that, by the way. I just it has a shelf life.
It's like what's going to happen next is that and we're not talking like the superhero movies. Because that's a different thing, okay? Yeah. Than the action movies you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great. It's an interesting, good list. What is your list, everybody? Who do you think it was your number one example, or you don't have to just choose one.
I'm glad Jack Torrance did not appear on this list.
Do you have one that wasn't on the list, or one that you can think of? Because any of the ones I would have thought of, I'll be honest, were on the list.
Oh, really? Okay.
I can't think of any off the top of my head necessarily. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking the movie, like, you know, A Field of Dreams, right, is considered one of those movies, you know, you watch with your dad and all these things. But again, not great fathers.
Yeah.
They're especially his dad, who basically, you know, I guess he didn't bet he died, but, you know, still.
There is the dad in Juno. He was really good. Darn it.
Simmons.
Yeah, J.K. Simmons. J.K. Simmons. He was really good. He was very good at that. He's just really good, period. Yeah, that's a good one right there. So I don't know. What is your... Oh, Ted Kramer from Kramer versus Kramer.
Dustin oh, my Hoffman. Gosh.
Wow.
There's
wow.
one for you.
Yeah. Wow. that movie. Him and Meryl Streep in that movie. And we want to hear yours, everybody. And, of course, we'll keep this going today and tomorrow. You know, we want to get us your TV dads or movie dads or TV dads. I don't
whatever.
Know. Yeah, whatever.
We'll take them.
Before we go to break, I do want to remind everybody that our WFHR newsletter is going to be premiering in just a little bit, everybody. At noon, you will have it in your email box. Be sure to head on over to WFHR.com, sign up for that newsletter, and your one-stop shop for Central Wisconsin news. A gigantic thank you to our whole team here all across Civic Media, but especially at WFHR and WIRI, our reporters, our writers, putting so much work into this. We appreciate you and appreciate all you out there signing up for that newsletter. Get to WFHR.com, sign on up. We'll be back with more show to wrap up the show. Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now right away. I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm sorry now I ever went away. Every night and day I go and stay.
We hope you had a good time today. We sure did. Thanks so much for hanging out with us over the last couple of hours. It's been a blast. It's been a lot of fun. Seth and I got to get out of here, but we got great stuff coming up here throughout the whole day at Civic Media. And one of those things going on is, of course, the Civic Media Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. We're doing up and down the state.
Ooh, at the top of the hour. It's coming again.
Yep, just minutes away, everybody. Be listening for that in the top of the 11 o'clock hour, 2 o'clock, and 4 o'clock hours. And, of course, we're going to do this again tomorrow one more time, and that's it.
Let's get a wrap. wrap it up. I can't believe it's over already. Oh, my gosh.
It's been a lot of fun. Thank you so much to everybody who has already been playing along and helping us get some bragging rights around here and all that. Get your chance next hour in the 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock hours to either win $100 cash or a pair of Brewers Club level tickets.
Okay.
And you get in on the running on our Wisconsin vacation tours of either Baraboo, Dells area, or Doors County giveaway. Check that out, everybody. Sign on up and have that Civic Media app handy.
Yeah.
Also want to encourage you to again sign up for the WFHR newsletter. Get to WFHR.com right now and sign up for that newsletter. Then you ain't even got to worry about it. Just shows up in your email box and you're good to go.
Good to go.
The Rapids Report will be new today. It'll be streaming exclusively at 2 o'clock. You can go ahead and download it. Check it out then. Today we're going to be joined by our good friends from the UW Extension. Kayla Rombalski is going to join
us. Nice. Very nice.
Always love talking to Kayla. Yeah. She's such
interesting
fun.
Stuff.
And in part two, we're going to talk with the friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater and the Silver Foxes.
All right.
They got their Laughing Tribute coming up, and it is directed by the great Linda Garsky.
Of course. Fantastic.
That interview could go long. You're going to put me
and
Linda
that's okay.
together.
That's okay.
That could go long, but that's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to that. Great sports on your radio dial on both of our stations tonight. Rafters back in action, taking that 3-game winning streak, looking to extend it against our rivals, Wausau. 6:20, our pregame will kick off right here at WFHR for that. Be sure to check it out. And then our sister station, 105.5 WIRI. Seth, you're going to be busy tonight.
Yes, we are. We have the next playoff game, the Assumption Girls soccer team taking on Aquinas. A very challenge. Boy, this is going to be a good game tonight, everyone, to get to the sectional championship. That's what they're both aiming for. The pregame starts at about 6:50. 7 o'clock is first kick for that one. Michael Comer will have the call on that. So if you're not able to get over to Washington Field, which is where they will be playing, let's listen on 105.5. We will have you covered for that game.
Be sure to check that out. And our friends at Focus have their neighborhood meals available today. They are going on from 4:30 to 5:45. The building you can get there about 4:15. That's when seating will take place. Encourage you to head on over to there to 2321 West Grand Avenue. Spread the word about this, and a big thank you to our friends at Focus.
Yes.
And Thursday, you know what that means, everybody? Lunch by the river.
That is today.
Kicking off in just about a half an hour from now, 11:30 to 1 over at beautiful Veterans Memorial Park. Head on over there and enjoy the Rapids School of Performing Arts as your entertainment today.
Very good.
Some of our best food is available down there. Great people.
Absolutely. It's a tradition.
Yeah.
Summer tradition here.
Get some lunch down there for Lunch by the River, and we're going to be doing this all summer long. Looking forward to it. A lot of fun stuff going on there. And Seth, you had a couple things.
Well, you know what happened today? As I drove out from my house, I saw that the farmer's market had started again, everyone. The downtown farmer's market, once again, every Thursday and Saturday from 8 to 1 in on First Avenue in downtown Wisconsin Rapids. They're going to be doing that through October 11th this year. So it's back. It's better than ever, everyone. I already saw people there before it even opened at 8 this morning. I mean, it's fantastic. It's one of the best things about summer here in central Wisconsin, and specifically in Rapids. So don't forget, you can walk over there as well, and you can always drop off while you're there. Bring your books, because we're going to be taking those for the next several months at the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church, 310 First Avenue South. We have the book bin out there. Come drop them off through September 15th as we get ready for the book sale in October.
Our friends at the United Way have a couple of things going on. One of them we mentioned, the diaper drive that is going on until this Sunday, until Father's Day. You can drop off new and unopened diapers for all sizes, all wipes, and diaper rash paste, all the things that you know you need as a parent. You can do that over at 351 Oak Street right here in Rapids. Drop those off anytime between 8:30 and 4, Monday through Friday. Big thank you to the United Way and all the community members out there who have donated.
Yes.
And bring the little ones, because it is the great book giveaway. United Way hosting this one. Volunteers will be reading to children at each location for about a half an hour. Afterwards, each child gets to select a free book to take home.
Very cool.
And there are some great selections out there, sure, everybody. If I didn't love these people so much, I'd have thought about taking a couple. No,
there you go.
There's some really good books over there. Yes. I was really impressed with that. I thought that's very cool. And they're back at it again today. Be sure to head on over to, let me see. They wrapped it up for today. I'm sorry. So that's why I was bringing it up earlier.
Got
to go over there. I will tell you that tomorrow they'll be in two locations at 10:30. They'll be in Adams County at their library, and then at 1:30 at the Lester Public Library of Rome.
Yes, two opportunities tomorrow.
Find out more at uwswac.org. Be sure to head on over there and find out some more.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at some world good stories, a little kid in Pennsylvania called 911 last week, but nothing was wrong. He is on the spectrum and just wanted to say hi to some police officers he met at school at a school assembly. So they showed up at his house and took a photo with him.
Oh, that's awesome.
They, of course, talked to him about when you should and shouldn't call 911.
Of course.
They had that conversation.
Learning. That's a learning moment.
The kid's mom praised them for being so kind. She said he loves the police and fire departments so much.
Aww.
This is something that Sheriff Becker and I talk a lot about, and we just talk a lot about in our community, and how every one of these actions, how important and meaningful it is, and how above and beyond it is.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to do this.
Nope.
Nobody's going to get mad at them if they didn't do this.
No, that's right. They're busy. Yeah.
Going above and beyond, man. I appreciate them. Someone at a library near Detroit found an old wedding photo inside a donated book and got the photo back to the couple's family.
Aww.
It was taken at a wedding in 1953, and the bride and groom are no longer with us, but their granddaughter saw the photo on social media and came to pick it up.
Aww.
She said she and her dad had never seen the photo before. They don't know how it got into the book or how it was donated.
Wow.
But she's planning to frame it and hang it in her home.
That's great.
There's something.
Great story.
I imagine this may be a pretty universal feeling, because I know it's happened to me and my family in the last couple of weeks, where you come across a photo that you either don't remember or you've never seen, and it's somebody that you don't have with you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's almost seeing them again. You know, for the first time or just in a different way or something like that.
Especially if it's
a
photo you've never seen before. That makes it even more interesting.
Getting me just even talking about it.
It's very cool.
That's beautiful for that family.
Yeah.
That is really cool. And had a shout out to that library doing that.
Yes.
You know, they could have just...
They could have just gotten rid of it or whatever, right? Yeah.
That's really cool. And this is a perfect story to wrap up on of course, a Thursday when we had Denise and our Pet of the Week with us in Buford, Milltown Coffee. All great stories. All good stories right there. Well, a shelter dog predicted a guy's seizure at an adoption event in Virginia on Saturday.
Mm.
Her name is Sienna. She walked right up to him, sat down, and put her paw on his foot. Then she started pawing at his leg. The guy's wife said he'd had a history of seizures, so she got him to, out of the sun, and he's okay now.
Wow.
She and her husband already have three dogs, but after the story went viral, several people filled out applications to adopt Sienna. That's a great story.
That is a fantastic story. They do have dogs that are trained to predict seizures. In fact, I know of one particular person in this area that has one because of epileptic seizures. Yeah,
That one, seeing my father go through seizures and everything, that one hits me really hard.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing that they can do this.
Yes.
I have to say, if this was me, I could have 20 dogs, and I'm still adopting that dog.
Tremendous.
Not only because of how amazing and sweet this is and everything, but the guilt. I'd feel horrible. I'd feel horribly guilty if I did. Like, I'd have to know that this dog was getting adopted by somebody else.
Right.
I'd have to know. There's no way. No wind.
Oh boy,
that's a really cool story right there. Once more, I want to remind you all out there to be the good story, to share your good stories. We know that while we scratch we're just scratching the surface of good stories out
there.
And I want to be on the forefront of being somewhere where, hey, I need a good story, or I want to know what the good things that are going on.
Right.
I want to check out the morning show. I want to check that out. Reach out to us. Let us know. We got some great reporters out there. We'd love to hear from you. Good show today, son.
You too, man.
Be good to each other out there.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.